welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Thursday. Yeah, Thursday already. It's the 23rd day of October, 2025. Yeah, it doesn't seem like the time is just flying, doesn't it? Yeah, it is. It is. And why do I have, like, Eric the Tech? My goodness, I change. I wear different suits every day. It seems like I'm wearing the same coat. I guess it lights me. I don't know. All right. Anyway, hey, welcome to the program, folks. I'm so glad you're joining me today. I got to know, for those in the chat, live in the chat, I'm going to give you first crack at it or first response. What did you think? What did you think about the last two nights of the show's themes? Did you like them? Too much? Too little? Too scattered? Too focused? Irrelevant, relevant, but who cares? I'm kind of interested in the comments too. And I have a reason for asking this. Thank you, Dan Boy Smith, for the great stuff. Good stuff. Enjoy them. Deep dives, good, good, excellent, great. But yeah, they were good. Bite me? No, I'm kidding. No, okay. Okay. It seems like there was pretty good. Okay, good. Interesting. That's good. Learned a lot. Good. All right. The reason I'm asking is because those programs will not be popular. They will not get the clicks. They will not get the views. They will not get the oxygen. Except within a specific audience. Okay. And if I don't mind saying that, I mean, I don't mind saying this at all. I think you've got to be above the noise, the chaff, the BS stuff and puke bucket. My goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. PB. I would just call you PB. But in the super chat, thank you. But, They're not going to rise to the level of, let's say, a more Crowder-like show or audience, or Steven Crowder, that is, or a Joe Rogan. Obviously, you know, it's a whole different, the whole different city, not a little, I mean, I think it's a whole different playing field, but playing field, heck, whole different country, basically. But The reason I'm asking this is because I've given some thought to, and I'll be talking about this top of the second hour or near the top of the second hour, the direction that this show will take. And quite frankly, the things I have to say at the top of the hour are going to be pretty personal and, pretty factual, but pretty personal. So I was kind of, in that process of thinking, okay, the information, sharing information, you know, what specifically, what does the core demographic of this program, the people who support this program, what do you, you know, what are you looking for? What are you expecting? What would you like? Because again, you can go on any broadcast and certainly pick up the news of the day. As a matter of fact, you know what, Eric the Tech? I was not going to do this because I thought, my goodness, you know, a couple of days is enough, right? But I saw something, and let me just see if I can send this to you. Do I have it handy? I don't have it handy. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to start out today's show with a couple of news items. I think it's worthy to know these things, a couple of things. Yesterday we had talked about a civil war, right? And the things that must be, or no, the things that historians, the conditions that historians have identified as being present in all civil wars, civil uprisings, battles between tribes and, in this case, states or cities and states, whatever it might be. without the hype, without the, you know, pearl clutching, hair on fire kind of stuff, just laying it out there. So basically all four elements, and some say two, some say four, but when you look at the two, you know, ultimately it contains all four. And then when you look at the four, yeah, there's two and then there's subparts, but it's all pretty much the same. They're pretty much historians, the historians who offer the information, they're all pretty much on target with agreeing the conditions are the same, whether it was Yugoslavia at the time back in the 70s or again Lebanon in the 80s, and then of course you had the globalist Arab Spring. But you couldn't have that necessarily without certain things being present. So when you look at the United States, because the U.S. is the last hope for freedom, the last stand for freedom. And if you think, well, you know, Canada's not bad. Well, look at what's going on in Canada. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no. In the U.K., no. How about Australia and New Zealand? No and no. Okay, so the U.S. right now stands, we're an armed population, and quite frankly, we're a pissed off population. And when I say that, we're angry for different reasons. There are people who are on the ideological divide is beyond anything. Okay, so look, I believe that our future is going to rise and fall in large part on accountability. And what do I mean by that? I mean exactly this. The people, individuals, whether they were in government, oligarchs, tech oligarchs, whatever, billionaires, foreign nationals, domestic people, if they're not held to account, legal accounts, or you leave it up to the people. I would suggest the latter not be done, but I can tell you this, people aren't going to wait. So accountability, I believe the future of our nation is going to rise or fall with accountability. So number one, look, how much exposure is necessary to expose the rot, to expose the seditious activities, the treason committed? How long are we going to beat this horse, this dead horse? I just asking. Hey, Pam Bondi, paging Pam Bondi, please pick up the white courtesy phone. Is anything going to happen? Well, okay, two things primarily tonight. The proof is in the hands. The proof of treason, the proof of sedition, the proof of everything that happened really over the last 10 years is in the hands of the Department of Justice. The only way I can describe this, the only way I know how to describe this in my mind, and this is me, okay? Because almost 40 years I've been doing investigative stuff, all right? So I could make the greatest case against someone. And I mean, I got it all. I got everything. I take it to the DA, or in this case, the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi. And if she just sits on it, where's the justice? Let's just say, okay. She files criminal complaints. It goes to court. Let's say the prosecutor is compromised or paid off or placed there by Soros. When I say Soros, I'm not talking about just the man. I'm talking about the network or Soros and company. Well, did you ever have a bad prosecutor, law enforcement guys, people? How'd that go? And then what about the judicial system? It's not really a justice system because there is no justice. What about the judges? Oh man, how many judges are there that decided not to do, you know, catch and release? I mean, they do catch and release, and they're not going to prosecute this. They're not going to, you know, you've seen it. What do we do about that? So at the level of Department of Justice, no action. Then you got prosecutors, leftist ideologues, activists in those seats. Then you got the judges. If it doesn't make it to a trial, you got to worry about those idiots. Black robe, tyrant, ideologue, Marxist, communist, mopes. So if you go through all three, then maybe you can impanel a grand jury as well. Okay. But then where in DC? I don't think so. How about, well, okay, so let's just say everything goes well and you have a trial and they demand a jury trial. Where, again, D.C.? I don't think so. No. So this is an uphill battle as well. You know what I'm saying? This is an uphill battle. We can talk all flipping day long about, oh, man, we got it now. Documentation. And we do. We do. We got the documentation. This is new documentation. It's verified. Against Garland. Against Chris Wray. Approving the Arctic Frost operation. But it's deeper than that. Because all of these little operations are all intertwined. Books have been written about them. Government Gangsters by Cash Patel. Hey, Cash, you wrote about it. Dan Bongino, you wrote about it. You followed the, I mean, yeah, I bought the book. I cheered you on. What do we have to do? What the hell do we have to do? You tired yet? But here's the other part. See, the right, the conservatives, they're too busy about, well, it's the Jews and Candace Owen and my God. And then Steven Crowder goes on and, are you watching this? Are you watching what the hell is going on? Which is why I spent 2 days. Look, your mind, okay? People's minds. You watch this crap, and they're either part of the PSYOP. And Stacey's, I was going to play this, How to Spot a PSYOP. He did a really great short on that. Man, in fact, he did it at the height of the drones. I guess I don't have to play that, but I'll put it in the program description box. You got to see that. How to spot a PSYOP. And really, there's two questions you got to ask yourself. I guess I can just say them. The first question is, does the story, is it scripted? You know, like threat to democracy, harmful to democracy. You get the idea, right? This is scripted. And the second part is, does it have staying power? Or is it suddenly forgot about? Then you have to look at the timing. And then you have to look at the source. But anyway, let's show what we have now. In addition to the piles of documentation. Now, all right, this might be another feel-good thing, or it might be a stepping stone toward where we need to go. This is cut one. This is about Garland Bray and the usual suspects. Hey, again, Pam Bondi, please pick up the friggin' white courtesy phone when you get a chance. Here it is, cut one.
There is some breaking news. I know Steve has been coming in hot on Getter, the latest with everything related to Arctic Frost. He's calling for, you guessed it, more indictments. Obviously, the Warren posse is in full agreement with him. But Senator Grassley received new documents from the DOJ proving that AG Merrick Garland, Deputy AG Lisa Monaco, and FBI Director Chris Wray all personally approved launching or opening Arctic Frost. Obviously, that laid the groundwork for so many of these, you know, Biden investigations, whether it was the Jack Smith false electors case, kind of giving them, you know, carte blanche to go after anyone they deemed an enemy. I think historically I've heard that go down before. It doesn't end too well. Although I guess in this case we won the election again. But can you just give us sort of your thoughts on how this goes all the way to the top? AG, Deputy AG, FBI Director, your thoughts on this?
Well, look, I'm happy to hear that we now have the proof of that. As a matter of common sense and as a legal issue, it obviously, anybody who was paying attention understood that this went all the way to the top all along, right? You don't start targeting the communications and of sitting U.S. senators and stopping congressmen and seizing their personal cell phones without making sure you've got that backed up. Do people need to be indicted? A lot more people. Yes. Do people need to go to jail? Yes. This is outrageous. And it is, it's another one of those points, like you and Steve are always talking about. We're either going to take a stand and preserve the rule of law and the Constitution, or we're going to just let the Republic slide over the cliff. I mean, you can't have the FBI targeting political opponents of the president of the United States just because they're political opponents. You can't do that.
Think? I mean, nothing against Sam Faddis. I mean, he's absolutely right. But hey, you know, the people placed in positions of power, your turn. And again, look, I believe you look at the demographics and you look at the people like the audience here. All right. This audience does not necessarily appeal to a younger demographic. Okay. That's just the way it is. I understand that. Now there are young people who listen to this program and I appreciate every single one of them. But so we're aging out, pretty much aging off. All right. So, however, we still have enough spunk in us to do some things. Believe me. Okay. Again, yesterday I was talking about how close are we to that, you know, kinetic point. We have tolerated so much. This demographic, this generation, as well as others, but we have tolerated the infiltration of our churches, the infiltration of our government, the infiltration of our schools, the infiltration of, you name it, every single place. We've said, yeah, okay, go along to get along. Now, let me show you what we got now. So, and we've tolerated, one of the other things, we've tolerated the takeover of our elections. You see, we never should have done that. Never, ever, 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 ever should have done that. I'm telling you, if I would have been there, and thank God I wasn't, because I'd probably be in jail still. And, you know, in 2020 with the cardboard going up and you can't count. Because, I was an election observer for, I don't know, a couple of elections. And I didn't take any crap. No, I'm not sitting there. I'm standing right there. Don't give me any crap. I never had a problem. But then I was not afraid to get in your face. But the need for the conservatives, the people who built this country, and by the way, you people who are bitching that you cannot, that now, you know, hey, it's the taxpayers. The taxpayers got to take care of me and my kids. Now, since when? See, that's the indoctrination problem. That's the mindset. That's the culture problem. No. But anyway, so we've allowed the enemy to be voted in by those people, the low information people, the morons, the skells, the mopes, the muppets out there, right? Or just the communist ideologues. Where now we've got New York City is going to look like a London. I'm telling you, it's coming if this mayor gets in there, if that Muslim communist mayor gets in. It's going to look like London. It's going to be worse than London. Of course, you've got the left leadership at a state level. You can't have guns and stuff. You know, you can't. No, no, no. Anyway, so let me show you now. Now, we've let those people in. Now, we voted them into office. Not everywhere. Many places. Let's take a look at the state house or the Texas state representative, Joanne Jones. Okay, because here's where this flashpoint, or here's what's going to contribute to that moment when all things change. And once that moment arrives, there's no going back. There is absolutely no going back. Trust me on that. Cut 5:18. Wait, this is what now the left, the Democrats, they say Democratic left, but no, this is the left now at a state level. Well, really, at all levels of government, all levels, the ideology of the left. This is at all levels, county, city, state, local, city, state, county, and so on, and federal. This is now where the left are taking their cues from. You've seen it, but by the way, you've seen this in various, from the usual suspects, but have you seen it at the state levels in Texas, no less? This is cut 5. Here it is.
Work. I'm from the hood, okay? So when a bully comes, like, if there are no rules, you literally have to figure it out. So Donald Trump has changed things, and people trying to do what's always been done is not going to work. And I think that's why Democrats are losing black people. That's why they're losing poor people, because poor people, all they want is for us to fight. So if you hit me in my face, I'm not going to punch you back in your face. I'm going to go across your neck, because we can go back and forth fighting each other's faces. You've got to hit hard enough where they won't come back. And so, yeah, for the same way I went to New York and spoke with Governor Kathy Hochul and said, if they're going to try to wipe us out in Texas, we need to wipe out every Republican in New York, in California, in Illinois. So no one can make me feel bad about fighting for the people that I represent, because the people that I represent need someone who's willing to go in the ring and fight for them. And that's exactly what I'm going to do.
So, representative, in that context,
shut that crap off. You get the idea, right? All right, now you know we're going to go for your neck, all right? And this is over and over and over and over and over again, and not matched, not met by any resistance whatsoever. All right, so then we have, like I mentioned yesterday, but this is even more concise, and I. Ahead of this, I apologize for the language of this video. But I thought this was probably important, because this is what I see being discussed on various chat rooms, forums, and stuff. All right. And this is more prevalent than you'll ever know. This is not about the EBT. This is about what's going on with respect to the deportation of their comrades. Okay. Yeah. You got to understand this. You're looking at what Biden and Mayorkas, and let me ask you this question. Mayorkas, how come we haven't heard that name in a while? Mayorkas, where's he? Is he like the French Riviera? What's he doing? And why in the hell isn't he here facing charges? Alejandro, let's get his ass in front of the Department of Justice. I'll go. Bring him, take him, get him, bring him back. So we have this operation, all these operations going on. I mean, what you had, 1.6 million self-deportations. You have about 500, half a million more of some really bad dudes getting, and dudettes getting, you know, deported. And then you got this, excuse me, all this fighting by the justice system, judicial system, and by the left. Now, because pressure is mounting in the legal challenges by people like Mark Elias, that piece of shit dirtbag, and other dirtbags, right? These big law firms that are nothing but communists. And I, you know what? I don't think I've met a flipping Republican attorney in a long time, but I digress. So they've got their agendas. But as the legal challenges are being lost, and you're seeing that more and more, now they are turning to the only answer they have left. And it's just perfectly exemplified in cut four. This is a minute 18, but listen to what this man says. And this is just one of countless others. But look, or listen, and look, if you want, here it is.
This might get me in a lot of trouble, but, you know, it might not. So here we go. Blow their fucking heads off. You don't know who they are, and they're not telling you who they are. They're not showing you any type of proof of authority. They're just trying to kidnap you. Blow their fucking heads off. Make the next squad think twice. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Hey, get in this car. Who are you? I said get in this car.
All right, yeah, I got enough of that skill. You get the idea, right? So, there you go. All right, so that's their plan. Believe me, the cartels have bounties on these ICE agents. They've compromised other towns, entire towns they've compromised. They're on the payroll and so on. Those that they cannot compromise, that is what is waiting for them. Now, you know, he talks about these people with, and you see this all the time, people with no identification or, you know, nothing to show that they're ICE or police or whatever. Folks, you understand those are undercover people, right? Now, did you miss them? Did people miss a memo on that? Now, just saying, you're going after somebody that's intentionally hiding and intentionally socked away with the intent to evade. We need to come in there with all kinds of police and, you know, helmet with a little flashing red light on it. Or a little propeller on top, you know, you're going to spin. No. That's only one segment of the operation. So, a small segment, too. But, I mean, they exist, but you got to understand. When you've seen the videos of fully clad police, I mean, you can't mistake them for, you know, milk truck driver, right? Just saying. All right. So the last thing, and I think this is important. You're talking about no kings and going back to the occupied days, right? I've told you, we've said this, we've shown this, whether it's from 2000 really to today, the funding networks are all the same. When President Trump went after USAID, that hurt them and some other NGOs. That hurt the funding, but the infrastructure is still there. It's kind of like, I would put it like this. Let's say you have a business and you got a couple of bank accounts, you know, business bank accounts. Maybe there's hardly any money in both of them, but they're still there, right? Same idea here. So I saw this, and again, I was looking for kind of a concise wrap-up thing, and this is cut two, because we have to look at the infrastructure that's supporting and funding these people. And again, you might think this is all redundant, but it's really not, because a lot of the people that were talking about really don't have a complete understanding that we have to pull the weed out, not just mow it down, but cut it out by the root. Here's the root. Cut two.
Governor Pritzker. But on the nonprofits, so much accountability to be had. Let's talk really quickly about something that if the Congress ever gets back in session, it doesn't look like the Democrats will ever open government again, but is going to be on the table. That's this little swamp program of all these NGOs that populate under what's known as the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, TVPA. It's this old 2000, I think it was passed in the year 2000, a law at a time when like some 600 to 800,000 victims of trafficking existed, according to the State Department. Over the next 25 years, that number exploded to some 27 million. So a lot more people trafficked since this law passed, and it spawned this whole web of government funded nonprofit groups that are basically pushing the wokest, furthest left DEI policies to the tunes of millions of dollars from the government. They're now suing President Trump to keep that slush fund alive. You have the wokest groups that are this called Freedom Partners USA. They're suing Trump, guess where? Up in Pritzkerville in Illinois, in Chicago, trying to get a favorable jurisdiction to turn the spigot back on. They're pushing just DEI, all this LGBTQ crap, and then also these just really novel theories of mind control that you can guess how they'll be applied should the Democrats ever take power again. So that's on that front, but a bunch more to cover if you want to talk McIver or any others.
Well, yeah, I saw you guys had pointed out in the legal complaint that they had put forth against the Trump administration might be the greatest case of projection I've ever seen. But saying that President Trump and his administration was acting like a human trafficker by trying to strip them of their, I think, poorly deserved, if not outright fraudulent, racketeering type funding mechanisms that, like we said, President Trump stopped. But feel free to drill down and you could bring in. I know you guys have done some good work on the No Kings front, the 50-51 movements, the sort of almost, I mean, it is internationally, globally financed, but how all these movements are converging right now and where we stand on the fight of pushing back.
Yeah, so there's a lot of money swirling around. Of course, a ton of it is government money that went out during the Biden years at a scale we've never seen before. But that also explains, you know, why Eisen's there on TV with his latest grift suing to stop the construction. It's because there's so many just extraordinarily wealthy people, a lot of these tech oligarchs too, who are, you know, all of a sudden trying to play both sides. They just have a lot of money and a lot of anger out there. And there are people like Norm Eisen who are popping up being like, give me your money. I'll do a meaningless lawsuit to stop the demolition of an old building on the White House grounds that'll be improved and paid for, not even by the taxpayers. But those same groups operate in, you know, every other space. It's not just this, you know, trafficking victims programs, which is a colossal woke waste that doesn't even benefit actual victims. But in the NGO front, you're seeing a lot of these groups involved in the obstruction of ICE business and proliferating what they're calling protests, and the media calls them protests, but they're not protests. They're not First Amendment protected activity. They're basically trying to obstruct the enforcement of actual immigration law in this country, which has been enforced for a long time. So it's a legal activity. You keep going down the list with the No King stuff. It's the same story there. You got this huge hodgepodge of all these other well-moneyed groups that are downstream of the money managers like Arabella and, you know, even the likes of Zuckerberg and the Chan Initiative, all of that. Our good friend Seamus Bruner at GAI has a good money map that'll show you how the money spent. But the interesting thing now is the left is so angry and so out of control. They aren't even pretending to vet their partner organizations. You have the Communist Party and very hardcore international units that are directly involved in No Kings. They're taking anyone they can possibly get to turn Americans into street action and then grossly exaggerate. They're running around saying 7 million people were on the streets last Saturday. That is a load of baloney. It was probably a few hundred thousand at best. But we've done some deep dives into these groups and the organizers, and they're always one skip away from the likes of Antifa International or, you know, people in the John Brown Hunting Club, you know, which is clearly an allusion to taking up arms just like John Brown did in, you know, 100 plus years ago to fight their perceived enemies on, you know, trying to liken it to some civil rights struggle when it's nothing more than domestic terrorism. They've opened the gates of hell, essentially, on the far left, and a lot of people are walking through it, and that's why you're seeing so much violence, and a lot of countries like, you know, China are taking advantage of sowing these seeds of discord on the backs of, frankly, a lot of mentally ill boomers that are involved in these SSRI costume parties, but then also some actual violent actors, and that's the violence you're seeing.
Okay, so he said a couple of interesting points here. Starting from the last thing you said, the SSRI crowd, the boomers, the mentally ill boomers, or the program. We talked about the reason for that, obviously, the consistent drumming, the fact that, I mean, there were multiple reasons. You can go back and look at the Tuesday show and Wednesday show, Tuesday specifically about the programming. And there's that. And of course, you know, hey, look, a lot of these mental drugs, these SSRIs in particular, are a product of the how can I say this correctly? And they're being pushed by leftist psychiatrists, you know, doctors, if you will, that are being in part rewarded through these organizations that are communist in nature. I guess I really can't say it any clearer than that. Okay, so think about that. And then think about the child trafficking, going back to all the way at the beginning. And then, folks, you can follow what he said, because everything that he said there was like very precise. The child trafficking things, the aspect of child trafficking, this, of course, has been a problem forever. And this continues to be a problem. It never was a greater problem than under Obama / Biden / Mayorkas. There's that name again. Bringing everyone into this country. There are still organized child trafficking rings in existence. Not that many now. But in 24, there was this constant flow of children across the southern border. And it just put into the hands of non-relatives, of strangers, for the purposes of slavery, sex slavery, and trafficking, and so on. Others were moved overseas and used as sex slaves. And of course, this was a huge problem. And the people around Biden took advantage of that, because the guy was a vegetable, and the people around him were that, hey, they were being financially rewarded and for a lot of this, for much of this. The infrastructure of the funding still exists. Okay, but this goes way back, you know, to, you can go back to really the early part of the 20th century. It existed then, but not to the extent it does today. And then it grew, and under Clinton, you had the friendship. Yeah, I mean, think back under JFK, you had this this RFK anti-mob routine. Well, that pissed off the mob, because they were in business with the CIA ever since the OSS. They were working together to bring in certain narcotics and other unpleasantries into the U.S. Well, it's the same thing today. So, and it worked through Clinton with, you know, Maynard, the drugs and all that. So, there's been this constant flow, whether it was drugs, it's all of the above, drugs, child trafficking, and human slavery, sex trafficking. And it just cracks me up. These people complain about slavery or about, you know, hey, most people don't understand the depth of the problem, I guess. Hence the program on Tuesday and Wednesday. Okay. So, and I'll also throw this out there as well. What we're seeing today, just to be again precise and a little bit more informational, consider this. So I'm going to toss this out into the chat. You ready, chat? I got a question for you. What was the first year? Let's see here. How can I ask this question that'll give you a chance? The first year that you either had a mayor, governor, or state really declare a sanctuary city or area, what year was that? Anyone want to hazard a guess? Let me just make sure I asked that correctly. There was a, I'll say it this way. There was a state that declared itself a sanctuary state. It was one of the first ones to do so. What state and what year? Anyone? And like I said, I'm 10 seconds behind. CDO 462. Thanks for playing. Not that far back. Or just a state. 2019 again. Thanks. Hagman fan. Oh, that's a really cool name. Thank you. Too late. New Mexico 86. Good guess. 99. Not really. 70s. You're right. Bada bing, bada bang. California, 1979. AB, what the heck? I should have printed my notes out. AB 540. Yeah, that's right. 1979. So long before President Trump, states and cities, you know, flexed their muscles on immigration or illegals. California declared itself to be a sanctuary state in 1979. With the California Sanctuary Law, AB 40. And I had to look that up. And what that law did was it limited cooperation with the federal immigration enforcement at that time. So, yeah, there were some dust-ups about that. And then cities like San Francisco, San Francisco, they felt pretty froggy at the time. And so they signed on additionally with, after the state became this sanctuary haven for crime, San Francisco signed on. And then that became like the template for places like New York and so on. So this has been going on the books officially since 1979. Okay. So we are faced right now with a problem, and the problem is this. Yes, you have a cultural war taking place. You've got a racial war taking place. You've got a have versus have not war taking place, or a have not war versus a have war. They declared war on us, right? You've got a broken election system where you have people in a broken culture where you've got people being voted in that are saying, hey, you know what? We're going to kill the Republicans. James Carville. I mean, you want to get on boomers? How about Carville? I don't even know if is he past boomer? Anyway, Carville saying, you know what? If you're a Republican supporter or if you're a Trump supporter, I'll dress you all in orange, walk you down New York City and, what do you say, spit on you or mock you or do something? I mean, it was crazy. And you got people saying, yeah, we're going to kill all the Trump supporters. We're going to kill all the conservatives. We're going to kill all the Christian conservatives. This is on record. And then remember on Tuesday, I told you about the infiltration of the media by the CIA. This is good. This just came out. And I mean, folks, you know this, right? But to hear it is perhaps just a little bit different than knowing it. This CNN cameraman admitted to being part of a cabal trying to overthrow President Trump while secretly being filmed. This is a good piece of undercover work, I thought. And this is cut 3 in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
I don't care about the MSNBC event, okay? I don't care about them. Let's just stay very focused on impeachment.
My name is Kerry Porch. I'm a satellite uplink technician. I'm a contractor at the CNN Washington, D.C. Bureau.
But Jeff Zucker, basically president of CNN, has a personal vendetta against Trump. It's not going to be positive for Trump. He hates him. He's going to be negative.
I decided to wear a hidden camera. I decided to secretly record the 9 a.m. rundown call meetings, and it's basically run by Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN.
We're moving towards impeachment. I mean, we shouldn't pretend, this is going one way, and so all these moves are moves towards
when I came to work at CNN, I mean, it was my dream job, and that dream actually just turned into a nightmare.
So I just want to say on the Instagram front, I know that there's a lot of people
News, fake news, and a propaganda machine. And with what I saw, I'm like, that's pretty much what CNN was. Like, it's just pumping out propaganda.
The fake conspiracy nonsense that Fox has spread for years is now deeply embedded in American society. And frankly, that is destructive to America. And I do not think we should be scared to say so.
I just wanted to own where they're at. Like, hey, if we lean left, cool. Let's just say we lean left. If we lean right, let it be known. But again, it just dovetails back to that thing. I just want people to have the information to make up their own minds.
All right. And, you know, you might think, well, you know, gee, okay, how many times do we have to hear stuff like that? More and more people are coming out with these videos and such. And the way I look at my position right here, and I'm going to get into something here in a second, is when I started this back, this platform back in, I think it was 2011, and it was supposed to be with Canada Free Press, and at any rate, it was like on every Saturday, and then no, that they didn't want to do that, and so then my son came on, and we worked for, I don't know, the next 9 years plus, or 8 years together. And of course, there was an evolution behind this. NERC, the tech came on, and I mean, there are numerous changes that we had to adapt to, or become extinct or whatever. And then, of course, there was the obvious pushback, the censorship, and the tragedies, numerous, too numerous to really get into, the lawsuits, the, everything was thrown at us. So here we are today in 2025, almost 2026, if you can believe that. Got some pretty deep scars, or pretty, obvious scars, most of them internal, but you know, they're there. So it's important to me to mention that it's the topics that we cover to me are important. And we have to, I just believe that now, as at this year, at this time, we have to cover things that are more edifying to the listener and to the viewer, that enrich your knowledge, or pretty much, you know, like we're all in this together, because we really are, even though we're separate in different parts of the country or different parts of the world. Hello, Japan. Thank you very much. But we're all in this fight together, and we're all looking for the truth. And it's not a subjective or a biased truth. It's simply the truth. There's not different versions of the truth. There's only one truth. And of course, at the foundation of all this is a biblical foundation, because you cannot have the truth without having your foundations in Christianity. And by that, I mean the Bible and of course, Jesus. And you get that, right? So here we are, and I spent the last couple of days attempting to determine how I can best use my time for these shows. But there's a couple of wrinkles that I want you to know about. And I should add this. As I mentioned earlier on Tuesday, Steve is unavailable tonight. He's sick, but he also has a lot of other things going on that he needs to take care of. Keep him in your prayers, because there's a lot of stuff taking place, but we're all in that position right now. I mean, how many true warriors, for those who have been listening for the entire time we've been on, or a long time, how many true warriors have we really lost? Quite a few, right? And so at some point, you've got to make a decision. Okay, now, if we're going to continue what we're doing, we need to make sure that the product is the best we can deliver on the budget we have. And let me tell you something about that. If you notice, I stopped doing reads, and there's no advertising, hardly. There's no advertising. Why? Because I just don't have the time or interest. But I'll tell you what, that hurts because there's no money to pay the bills. So now you're looking, because we still have airtime, you know, the satellite bills and all of this. So I'm just saying, okay, so your support, and let me tell you something about your support. You guys have been so gracious in supporting this platform over the years. I mean, God bless every one of you. And all of that money, I guarantee you, if I could open the books, and I can't, well, all that money has gone to expenses, keeping us on the air. A little payroll, right, for Eric and myself, just not that much. No, not even six. I mean, we're still in five, or maybe five figures, yeah. We're mid five figures, if that, in terms of salaries. And of course, the expenses are heavy, the taxes and such. But that doesn't matter. Who cares? But I just want to let you know. And if we do ever have any left over, it does go to fund certain operations that are saving children in reality, in real life. So, okay. But when you get hit with things like, you know, we're all getting old and our bodies are breaking down. And you get hit with news. For example, I was hospitalized in April. And I'll just flat out tell you, you know, when they took my gallbladder out, they said, yeah, you know what? You got some funny looking stuff in there. In fact, your liver is probably, it's on its last leg, if liver had legs. And some other organs, you know, kidneys, and not looking too good. And there's some other weird stuff. So, and I, that's kind of at the right around the time that I had to cut down to 3 days a week because, man, I had to go through some stuff. So, you know, the doctor. Anyway, after I had my surgery, the doctor came out and talked to my wife, and he said, you know, actually, the surgeon was a she. She said, ain't looking too good. So when I came out of the surgery, I'm looking at my wife, and she's got this, you know, weird look on her face. I said, what's up? And she said, you know, yeah, it's just, got some issues. All right. So it's hard for me to talk about this because I don't. So because of all of that, and I'm not going to get very specific, but I am going to get perhaps a little bit more specific in the next hour because I care about people. And I want to tell you what I did after this. I hooked up with Basima Williams. And showed her what my problems were. And she said, yeah, that ain't good. Not good at all. But it'll be worse if you don't do something about this and just follow the conventional treatments, right? All right. So I'm fighting this and going to different procedures and cardiac stuff because my heart's all calcified, basically. I've got major 100% blockages pretty much everywhere. In important arteries, too. Like I said, when they went to clear one blockage, they opened me up and closed me back up and said, nah, we're not doing that. We can't do that. Too far. Can't do it. They'd have to, like, you know, what do you replumb the system, right? I guess I don't know how they have to do that. So You know, so then you have to, or they say, okay, you've got to go and every couple of days and, you know, try to develop collateral circulation, because otherwise you're just going to, like, you know, they can, when your heart stops, they can just put you outside and you're going to be like a statue because you're all calcified. I'm making light of this because really, you know, everyone's got flipping problems, right? So that's why, number one, that's why I had to go down to 3 days a week. And that's why tonight I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm responsible for some people in terms of keeping in business. And so I'm trying to think of what I should do. But one thing I know to do is if I did nothing, according to the doctor here, if I did nothing, if I just walked, said thanks very much and did nothing, they said, you know, yeah, year, maybe. Yeah, well, if you take proactive steps, then maybe a little longer. So I thought, wow, that kind of messes with your mind, doesn't it? To me, it's a darn sight better than going out and getting whacked by a bus, but, you know, at least you got a heads up. But then I thought, wait a second. With all the people we know, with all the people that come into our lives. So I hooked up with Dr. Williamson. And man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, she looked at it and says, you know what? It's bad, but we can handle this. Why am I sure? I mean, I guess I got to share this because this kind of gives you the inside baseball stuff going on. All right. So one thing I found about this alternative treatment is, wow, you gotta change. You gotta want to live. Number one. And one of the first questions, folks, you understand this. One of the first questions that I was asked is, do you want to live? Do you want to live? I had to think about that for a minute, which is kind of scary by itself, but okay. I said, yeah, I guess. No, I guess. Do you want to live? Yeah. All right. Are you willing to make some certain changes? Yes. I mean, to an extent, I'm not going to be eating grass and cardboard, okay? But, you know, I mean, come on, help me out here. We can reverse certain things and we can treat certain things. And I got to tell you, might be working. I think it is. Let me check. Looks like it is. So I did ask her to come on because there's one thing I was thinking about over the weekend and today. I don't want anything like this to happen to any one of you. And I mean that from the heart. And I talked to my wife and I talked to Eric a little bit. And I said, you know, what can I do? When you start talking about things like this, you start getting kind of introspective, right? So what can I do to pay the information forward? And they said, well, just talk about the benefits and talk about the changes and talk about things that would help you. But there was one thing that they said that really struck me was, you can't wait until you have a problem like you have, you can't wait. You can, but it's better if you don't. So provide information that will be helpful to the listeners and the viewers to avoid that. Hey, you know what? In a year or two, mm. So provide that information. And that's what I'm going to do shortly. Eric the Tech, you did send that out, right? Okay. So, all right. So that's my story. I don't know how long, she's coming in now. So I don't know how long, I'll be doing this, but I'll tell you what, with the help of Dr. Williams, maybe we'll get back into the saddle again, because we got a lot of business to take care of. We do. Dr. Williams is, I got to tell you this, folks, beingfunctional.com. Look, this is not an infomercial. I'm telling you right now, I just laid out my heart and soul to you guys. All right. I wasn't going to do that, but I had to. But I don't want you to be in the position where you're trying to fix a leak in your water heater with, water heater of a body with scotch tape. All right. Don't wait till it gets that far. And if it does, know that there are alternatives out there. So I asked Dr. Bessina Williams to come on and basically go ahead and throw me under the bus if that's what she wants to do, because that's okay. I deserve that, because I'm my own worst enemy. I've led a pretty, I haven't led the cleanest life. Gotta tell you. Mountain Dew for, you sit crouched in a van for 12, 14 hours or 12 hour shifts in certain cases, and drink, Mountain Dew and eat stale pizza and donuts, and do that for 30 years and smoke a pack and a half of Camel. Yeah, it messes with you. Yeah, it's consequences. And then you have like a 24, 30 hours of boredom followed by 15 seconds of holy crap. You get the idea, right? But do that for 30 some years and I got a better idea. Let's talk to Dr. Bessina Williams, beingfunctional.com. The website is going to be in the program description box. I appreciate all of you for joining me and thank you so much. And I appreciate you allowing me to pour my heart out to you guys. And through Dr. Williams, through her kind efforts, very intelligent efforts, and she's fixing me up. So just maybe, probably, I'm going to be here for too long and slapping you guys around a little bit. I'm joking. But Dr. Williams, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show tonight.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank goodness. Yeah, thank goodness I had good, healthy food to eat today. So my brain is still working this late at night.
I love it. So
had an early morning.
You know something? Yes, and thank you for coming on late. I know it's an imposition for you to be on.
Oh no, it's fine.
I really, man, you are really a godsend to me and to really everyone listening. Please listen to what Dr. Williams has to say, because she is taking care of me now. She's got to, like, she smacks me sometimes. Physically, but she'll, get me back on the straight and narrow. But, just come on. I kind of laid out my problems a little bit in broad strokes, and the fact that you were helping me, and thank you for that.
No, yeah. And I think you actually have a great idea, because I think we can learn best through examples. And Doug, you're being hard on yourself, because a lot of times we do things just to get through the day. And, we don't know any better. And then, so then what our brain starts to do is it starts to learn pathways of least resistance, so that we just do that same repetitive action over and over and over again. And actually 95% of what we do on a daily basis, if we are not being intentional, is actually done subconsciously. So in order for us to change, we have to first have that increase in self-awareness. And I think that's where, and that increase in self-awareness can come through something good, like you see your wife or someone doing good things and you're starting to see them change. And so then you want to change, or sometimes it comes through a scary diagnosis. And thank you for letting me share your story, because I think it's actually a very powerful one. And I think and with your permission, I'll talk about what kind of scared you, if that's okay.
Yeah. You just, again, I've got, I, At this point, I've got no secrets. I mean, you know, so go ahead.
And you're kind of living my life. I have no secrets, too. I share my story about menopause all the time. Mine is not as drastic as yours, but certainly it touches a lot of hearts and souls, especially with women. I just did a women's conference, and, you know, the session that where we, you know, you can go to breakout sessions. The session that I taught was overflowing. And when you look at pictures of the session, women were leaning in, really learning and really wanting to learn more about hormones. So, I mean, and that's something we can talk about one day, but I love your idea of speaking through example. So, you know, and I'm just going to kind of go over with you, and I want to have a dialogue with you. And we're certainly nowhere near, not even near close to treatment with you, because we're still in the diagnostic phase. And I think it'll be kind of cool to see some of the testing results come in that we can talk about later on, and also some of the, you know, how you're doing and things like that. So, you know, you came to me primarily because you were worried about a diagnosis of liver failure is what they told you. And when I reviewed all of your testing, I said, I think we can reverse this, Doug. But this is what we have to do. So, you know, you were diagnosed with something that's actually extremely common. And that is called NASH, which stands for non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, which is basically an accumulation of fat in liver cells. And what happens when you have a cell that's filled with fat, well, then it's not going to work as well as it would if it was just filled with all the organelles that it's supposed to be filled with. And so you're going to increase in inflammation, oxidative stress. You're not going to be able to make as much energy or ATP out of the cells. Mitochondria is affected. And so then the liver becomes sluggish and everything starts backing up. You get a lot more inflammation. And eventually it leads to scarring of the liver. Now, you were worried about that because you said, well, I don't drink alcohol. Why do I have this? And, you know, type 2 diabetes, uncontrolled hyperglycemia, high blood sugar, is actually now the leading cause of NASH or liver damage. And so over time, this fat accumulates and accumulates, and to the point where it does turn into cirrhosis, which is not reversible. But you're still in that reversible stage. So, and we're hitting you with everything we have one step at a time because we don't want to overwhelm you. So,
no, I thank you for that because the steps are wow. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, and you know, just to kind of put it out there, the most common causes and risk factors for NASH nowadays are being obese, having uncontrolled blood sugar, having and eating the standard American diet. Eating a lot, eating and drinking, especially the drinking with the high fructose corn syrup, a lot of, you know, sugary drinks. And that also leads to something called hypertriglyceridemia or elevated triglycerides in your blood, which that can be a genetic predisposition, but it can also be as a result of a poor diet. So the treatment, of course, is weight loss, which incidentally, you had already lost quite a bit of weight over the past 5 to 6 years, primarily, we believe, after talking with you, primarily due to having been on a diabetic medication that actually helps decrease appetite called Trulicity. It's an old one, but certainly something that might have helped with that weight loss of 60 pounds over 5 to 6 years, which had you not done that, you would have been in worse shape.
Glad to know that, but but you know, it's funny with that because you see people on these, they're taking these designer things to lose that weight. Me, I was on for that for a couple of years, maintained that weight, and then when I started having kind of issues, apparently, and bang, you know, it was like the weight just kind of really alarmingly came off, but okay. That did help. I'm sure that did help. Okay.
Yeah, that did help. And then the one thing we talked about when we were together, I said, you know, one of the treatments for this is really, really good blood sugar control. So yes. One of the things we did was we sent out, and I don't know if you got this because, you know, we haven't had a chance to follow up. So we're following up live on air. One of the things we recommended is that you would wear a continuous glucose monitor. Do you have one of those?
I got it. Yes, I got it. And yes, I had something done yesterday. So I'm, yes, it's going on in the morning. I just had to get rid. I had to go. I'll explain it to you later. I had to go past yesterday. So
gotcha. Okay. Well, I want to show you my continuous glucose monitor because this is something that I'm not diabetic, but I know that out of everything that we do day in, day out in with our bodies, one of the worst things you can do is have high blood sugar and high blood sugar spikes. So I intentionally eat in a way where I can avoid those spikes the majority of the day. But I also don't want what we call hypoglycemia, where your blood sugar bottoms out. Because when your blood sugar bottoms out repeatedly, normally it will bottom out when your blood sugar spikes really high, then it comes crashing down. You know that kid that you give candy to and they're like hyper for a few minutes and then all of a sudden they're crashing and also angry and mean when they're crashing? It's because the body's eliciting an emergency response system into action. So it's actually releasing cortisol, which is your stress hormone, and it's also releasing the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic nervous system, adrenaline. So now you're making adrenaline and you're getting shaky and nervous feeling because your blood sugars have bottomed out. So it's really important to try to keep a straight line. So I just wanted to show you my blood sugars. This is really good. Today was really good. And I want to tell you how I got to essentially a straight line, you know. So right now my blood sugar is 88, but essentially a straight line all day long. So even when I ate, my blood sugar might have gone up a little bit, not a big deal. There's no sharp spikes and there's certainly nothing above 120 today. I'm on no medications with this. So this is all just diet. And the way I do that, I do take some key supplements. You know, we've got great supplements on myvitamin.com. The foundational pack is amazing. Everyone should be on that. And so that is really important. But also the other thing I do is when I eat, I will actually eat in the proper order. So I'll eat my vegetables first. Like today I had for lunch, I had a little tray of food and I had my cucumbers first. And then I had 3 ounces of turkey slices, which was nitrate free, really clean turkey. And I had a little bit of feta cheese. And then I had a piece of sourdough bread with a little nut butter on it, cashew butter, just a smear of nut butter on it. But what I didn't do is I didn't eat the sourdough bread first because that would have made my blood sugars go up. So you want to create something called a fiber net. Eating vegetables first creates this fiber net, which decreases the rate at which glucose is absorbed into your blood. You need glucose, right? You need glucose to live. If you don't have glucose, you will die. And that's why when your blood sugars come crashing down, cortisol is released. It's an emergency. Cortisol is released so that it releases glucose that is stored in your liver and also breaks down muscle to make glucose. So this is a really important protective mechanism. The problem is that, you know, in my practice, I have patients who are spiking their blood sugar and crashing all day long, and that's causing an emergency response system. The other thing you really, really, that's extremely important, I want to mention it now before I forget, is glucose in your blood is super unhealthy. Okay. So when we have just the right amount of glucose in our blood, like I do right now with, and I know this because I monitor my blood sugars, by the way, this also helps me stay accountable. So like, ooh, I want to eat something right now. I know I'm not going to, because I know I'm going to pay the piper in this. It's like my little report card.
it tattles okay. On you. And by the way, just for people listening, I had no idea. For example, what she described to me just now was kind of like a turkey sandwich, right? Except you just can't eat. It matters in which order you eat the.
That's right.
The sandwich, I guess, if that was in your mind making sense. So think about that. That blew my mind because I had no idea. I mean, I heard it, but I really didn't listen. So there it is. Okay.
Yeah. And I love sourdough bread and I also eat a whole foods diet. You know, so I don't have processed foods. So even the sourdough bread is from a bakery that makes it fresh and uses whole food ingredients, all organic. And yes, it's a little bit more pricey, but I don't eat that much of it. The cashew butter that I buy is all cashew, no seed oils mixed in it. It's $20 for one bottle of it. It's in a glass container. But you know what? I use just a little tiny bit of it. I don't need a lot. So you don't need a lot of food. In fact, in this country, we are way overeating. If we just spent less on volume of food, but better quality of food and kept spending the same amount of money, that would be ideal. But before I lose my train of thought, I want to make sure you understand clearly why having high blood sugar is so toxic. In fact, I would argue probably one of the most toxic things that we see on a day in, day out basis. So when you have just enough blood sugar, and pretend this is sugar floating in your blood, that's great. It'll get into a cell and then it'll make energy. Okay, ATP. That's why we need glucose to begin with, because if we didn't have it, our cells wouldn't be able to make energy and we would die. So if we have just enough, this goes in here into the cell and makes energy. The problem is when we have a lot of glucose in our blood and we have a lot of inflammation for various reasons, and our insulin receptors don't work like they're supposed to, so we can't get this glucose into the cell. What do you think this glucose does? It starts binding with other things. Like, for example, it'll bind to proteins, or it'll bind to lipids, or it'll bind to DNA, other things in the blood. Now, once this reaction happens, it's not reversible. You can't do this again and use this glucose later on. This is called an advanced glycated end product. And this combination of glucose plus something else is one of the most inflammatory things you can possibly do in your body day in and day out. In fact, where these AGEs, they're abbreviated AGEs, advanced glycated end products, very simple, right? AGEs, it actually ages your cells, and the receptors that it goes to are called receptors for advanced glycated end products, which are RAGEs. So it rages the cell. Like, it's not a good idea. That's why I keep an eye on my blood sugar, because before I wore my continuous glucose monitor, and even though I wasn't diabetic, my average blood sugar was about 106. Not bad, but man, my family history would certainly point me in the direction of 106 in 5 years. I will be above 125 and I will therefore be diabetic. And no, thank you. I don't want to be diabetic, because it's one of the worst things that you can do is to become diabetic, because that means at the cellular level, your cells are really suffering. On the flip side, like we're working with you one step at a time, Doug, we can completely control it. And in many cases, in my practice, we reverse diabetes.
Which, you know, yes. And the high blood sugar, for even if you're not a diabetic, the high blood sugar or higher levels of blood sugar. And you, again, you mentioned inflammation. I learned a lot from you. And if you want to explain a little bit about inflammation, just briefly, why it's so important to get that under control, because, well, I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, probably the best way to really describe inflammation, and I go back to this talk that I gave on several other podcasts in the past, is really trying to understand what oxidative stress is. We use that term really loosely. Eat your antioxidants. This causes oxidative stress. Like, what exactly is that? And really, oxidative stress, think of something aging faster. Think of an apple that you cut in half and it turns brown. That apple is going through oxidative stress because it's being exposed to oxygen, and those oxygen-free radicals develop. Interestingly, if you took that same apple and squirted it with fresh lemon juice, which is an antioxidant, it actually would not brown. So, and that's what I do with all my apples, by the way, just so I, you know, I can eat them later on. I slice them up and put a little lemon on them, because I don't like to eat brown apples. But, you know, I made this chart a while back, and I know it's hard to see on video, but this is just a concept. What we're living in right now is a society where we have this weight scale that weighs how much oxidative stress we have every day in our life, all the things that are causing inflammation in our body, and then all the things that take away inflammation. And what I find in my practice is, by and large, we are so overburdened with oxidative stress, things that cause oxidative stress, like diet, and your chemicals that we're being constantly exposed to, and inflammation that's then leading to protein misfoldings, which cause a lot of inflammation. Excessive exercise causes a lot, sleep deficiencies, EMF exposure, tobacco use, all these things. When we have an increase in oxidative stress, what we're really doing to our bodies is we're increasing the rate of cancers. We're increasing the rate of things like heart attacks, damage to the inside of the arteries, damage to DNA, damages to proteins in our bodies, damage to cell membranes. So then our cells are not communicating well. And there's so much magic that happens at the cell membrane level that when that's damaged, things getting in and out of the cell properly, it's just really affected greatly. So inflammation.
Very well explained. I didn't mean to interrupt, but very well explained, because I had to really kind of get that into my head. And you mentioned cancers and all the bad stuff that happens because of or with inflammation. So thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, your mitochondria and your cells don't do the work they're supposed to be doing. And that's at the end of the day, that's where a lot of my patients come in with chronic fatigue and they're very inflamed. You know, we always, for us, we have a pattern of how we do things. And one of the first areas we always work on is nutrition, diet, gut health, things like that. Like, for example, somebody's coming in with massive diarrhea, 3, 4, or 5 bowel movements every day, and they're not getting and absorbing the nutrients that their body needs in order to function. That's a great place to start, because you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck there, you know. So one thing I want to ask you about, Doug, it's one of the first things I said, we need to have you quit smoking. And I said, you just need to quit. So I would love to hear where you're at with that now.
Oh, man. One of the toughest things one of the toughest assignments I've ever gotten. I am proud of myself because I am not. Should I say the quit day? I'll tell you what the quit day is. The absolute no tobacco day is Sunday. Believe me, folks, it's on every calendar. It's on every wall, just about every wall. It's on my steering wheel of my car. It's everywhere.
I think that's great. You know, most of the cigarettes you smoke, and I want to empower you here. Most of the cigarettes that you smoke are done out of habit. Again, going back to the Mountain Dew and the pizza and sitting in a car and, you know, same reason why most people get up and the first thing they do is look at their cell phone, and then they look at any messages, and then they look at Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And then they look at their messages from their email, and all this while they're still laying in bed, and they're doing it without even thinking. They just do it because they're on autopilot. Definitely being intentional will definitely serve you well in terms of helping. But I'll tell you what, one of the worst causes of systemic inflammation and oxidative stress is tobacco use. So if we can eliminate that, that would really bode well for your liver. Believe it or not, it's affecting your liver, because anything that causes oxidative stress affects the liver, affects cellular function, affects mitochondrial function, affects it all. So decreasing inflammation in your treatment plan was the key that we needed to immediately start on. The second thing I really, really pushed hard for with you is, and we talked about how to quit smoking. We talked about, you know, do you cut cold turkey? Do you wean down? Do you use the nicotine patches? You know, there's so much. And we talked about comparing it to quitting alcohol and quitting drugs. And I'm like, you know what? There's never a scenario. There's some scenarios where people like to drink alcohol and it's a social thing and it's okay. But there's never a scenario where tobacco use or drugs is okay. And so the good news is, it's, believe it or not, in my opinion, working with, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over almost 30 years, when we have to live with what we're trying to control, like food, it's a lot harder than just stopping it and walking away from it. That will become your new normal in 4 months. So I'm really proud of you there. The other big thing we talked about was,
if I can just toot my own horn, I just want to say this. Okay, what I used to smoke in probably a morning, I've stretched it out now to about 4, maybe 5 days. So I can see that you know, that day, and it's all going to be good, and I'm going to be back. Awesome. So yes. Yes. And thank you for that. And, I appreciate that. But boy, I'll tell you what, man, folks, you got to want to go ahead. Doctor.
Well, and that was the first question I asked you is, why do you want to see me? What is your why? And if you don't have a why and you don't care, then that I can't make you have a why. And you have an amazing wife. Renee's amazing. And I, you know, loved working with both of you guys. And so you have a why, and you also need to be around to do some of this work. We need you around. And so it's my honor to help you get healthy. And I hope that, you know, you can continue moving that trajectory. You know, it's not an overnight change for the majority of my patients. It's not an overnight change where all of a sudden we go from living in this way to living super clean overnight. And it wasn't for me either. It was a trajectory of change where we slowly made changes that eventually got us to being healthier and healthier. And we're still doing it. We're still being better. Now I wear a continuous glucose monitor and I'm even better. So now I'm even affecting, like you said, constructed my turkey sandwich and ate it in an order where I knew it would not affect my blood sugar in an adverse way. Plus, I only ate one slice of bread, not two. That makes it, so volume also plays a big role. And I ate a whole entire cucumber. I love vegetables, so I'm very blessed in that way. The other thing we discussed is nutrition. And we really wanted you to do two main things with your nutrition because we were also really focused on gut health as well. Right.
Yes. And so this was really, tough, but go ahead.
Yeah. What we really wanted to do is really kind of implement a Mediterranean diet that has the healthy oils, the healthy proteins, lots of vegetables, minimal grains. But then we also did a partial elimination diet where we eliminated gluten, dairy, and eggs. Tell me how you're doing with that.
I never knew you can get milk from a flipping nut. Okay. But I guess you could. Okay. Yes, you can. So there's that. So dairy, I really, you know, it's okay. I mean, I'm doing okay. I was just amazed at the, just the diet. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is going to make you feel better. I mean, listen to what you, I don't care if you don't have any problems at all. This is going to make you feel better. I guarantee it. But anyway, yes. So go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the reasons we wanted to sort of do this way of eating, one, we wanted to really affect the blood sugar. So we're going to get some more data on that. We've got a lot of blood work that's still brewing and the continuous glucose monitor and all this. So like I said, we're just barely starting out. And I love that you're doing this on here. And I really hope and pray that it's going to help a lot of people. But one of the things that we wanted to, really focus on was gut health. How is your gut feeling by doing this?
That's exciting. It's a wild ride. Honestly, okay, so folks, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I found. So I don't know if I'm weird or what, but eliminating the dairy, so I'm drinking whatever the
almond milk.
That stuff. Okay. And by eliminating the dairy and by, watching and again, increasing vegetables, which okay. Tossing out the junk food and just limiting myself to pretty much kind of like the Mediterranean diet as best as possible. It's improved a lot. Okay. I mean, plus you've got a product as well. And folks, you can go to beingfunctional.com the supplements.
The supplements would be the vitamins.
That one.
777.com.
That one.
Vitamins777.com. No S. Yes. And that, yeah, we have a lot of stuff there and we're getting more. We actually, Doug, this is the first time I've actually mentioned this. I was on a podcast talking about colon cancer screening and, you know, it's really harsh to clean your colon out and then replenish everything back. And so some of our patients were asking, you know, we do this automatically for our patients actually, but some of the people were asking, what can I do to help replenish that bacteria and that gut health after a colonoscopy? So we have an entire bundle for the, oh my gosh, gut health. So people who are having a lot of diarrhea, people who are having even just bloating and things like that. So we really put this bundle together. It's not available yet. It's coming within a month. This gut healing bundle for people who just don't know what to do next. So we're really excited about that. We're growing. The company is growing. And we're excited about that because we're hearing what people are wanting more and more of. Or we've gone to so many events and things like that that I just do literally for free because I do love teaching. But I definitely have heard what people want, and we're trying to accommodate that. So your gut overall, would you say, is better?
Yes, I think yes, 100%. Yes, okay. 100%. I would say it's better. It's like you said, the uncomfortable feeling you get and stuff. It's rarely there anymore. No,
that's awesome.
You know, so that's awesome. I got other pains and aches, but not there.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And you know, our goal long term is to get rid of those pains and aches too. Like we have so many other people, but we've barely started. So I don't know where you're at with that yet, but we're gonna find out today. That's what today's visit is about.
Hey, folks, I'm a visual pin cushion right now. Okay.
Yes, you are. Okay. And so the other thing is, I also asked you to take a peptide called Gut Tides or BPC-157 with KPV. Did you get that in the mail by any chance?
Is that the two scoops a day?
No, that's something different. Are you doing the two scoops a day too?
Oh yeah.
Oh, perfect. Okay. I didn't know if you got all of your supplements. No, this is a pill that you take, and it should have come in the mail, but you know what? We'll make sure that I know not all of your supplements all got there.
No.
So I know we're working on one thing at a time first, because, you know, in our practice, we really want to do a lot of diagnostics before we just start throwing you on everything. So we have to be careful with how we do things. The other thing I asked you to do is, And this is for you specifically because of your blood sugars, gut health, and inflammation, and blah, blah, blah. I asked you to change. I'm not going to mention the medications, but I asked you to change your diabetic medications because I was worried that some of them might have been causing some, you know, we have newer drugs now. So yeah, I'm just curious. Just curious where you're at with that now.
I had to get authorization, but yes, the end of, let's see, forgive me, because the conversation I had with, by the end of the month or at the beginning of the next month,
okay.
I can start.
All right. Awesome. Because, you know, we have so much room for improvement, right?
Yep.
And this is what I really want to speak to right now is that, when you treat a human body, we want to get back to basics as much as possible, but we have to take a multi-level approach. It's not one thing. It's not one prescription. So look at what we've talked about today so far, just with your blood sugars and your liver. We've talked about controlling your blood sugars better, increasing self-awareness of where your blood sugars are, wearing a continuous glucose monitor, quitting the oxidative stress, the number one thing that's causing oxidative stress in your body, which is the high blood sugars and the tobacco use, decreasing inflammation drastically using dietary changes, starting the process of healing your gut, just so we can start to move the needle of improved absorption of nutrients. So minerals, vitamins, phytonutrients, and also the macronutrients, the carbohydrates, the proteins, and the fats. I mean, if we're not absorbing our proteins, we don't have building blocks. We start to wither away and we start to replace muscle and healthy tissue with more and more fat accumulation in certain areas. The other thing we talked about a little bit just now, that the BPC-157 is a peptide. A peptide is something that your body naturally makes. But, you know, functional medicine doctors, for sure, for several years now, we've been using peptides for other things. And the one I asked you to go on, which you have not gotten yet, and that's okay, is BPC-157. And if people look up BPC-157, I actually had a whole entire radio show on this. I have a radio show on weekends in the St. St. Louis area. We had a whole entire radio show on just BPC 157 and how remarkable it is. We do use a prescription strength one, so there it is available over the counter. It's not as good as what we use, not as bioavailable. Obviously, that's what you will be getting. But it is something to even perhaps find a functional medicine doctor who uses this. All my autoimmune patients are on it. All my patients with NASH or liver disease are on it because it literally helps with regeneration of cellular tissue, healthy cellular tissue. It actually, for people who have like ankle sprains or tennis elbow, things like that, it actually is so anti-inflammatory without being addictive or being, habit forming. You use it for a temporary period of time and then you stop. This is the compound that Rogan had on his show when he interviewed a football player, and he said he had been suffering for a tennis elbow for years and he used BPC and was better after 2 weeks. So this is definitely something that you need to go on. But again, one thing at a time. We literally threw like 30 things on Doug. So one thing at a time, it's a process. And we just have to remember that it's a process. We don't expect you to do everything all at once, but we will hold you accountable and continue moving that needle up stepwise all the time. As long as our trajectory is moving up and we're getting better and better, that's our goal.
And, you know, I have to say this, it's interesting because, for example, and I so appreciate all of what you've done, but you know what, folks, the initial question, I'll just say this. When the traditional medical doctor, surgeon, you know, said, hey, this don't look too good. You know, hey, when did you ask my wife, for example, is your husband an IV drug user? Said, okay. No. When do you have hepatitis? What? No. Anyway, but again, the traditional medical doctors don't address the comprehensive nature of what you do. They will say, of course, if you don't quit smoking, we're not going to do anything for you. But they won't say, okay, let's tackle everything together. And folks, those people out there who are healthy or relatively healthy or don't have as many problems as I do, you know, if you're still insurable, whatever, I urge you, listen to what she says. Seek out her guidance, medical guidance. Go to vitamin777.com. The link will be at Hagman PI and in the program description box all across all platforms. Do that, please. And
You know, the next like stepwise therapy that we actually are instituting with you, once we get all your blood work and all your studies, we are going to really hit you hard with anti-inflammatory key supplements, especially turmeric, boswellia, and high-dose fish oil, omega-3, which is very anti-inflammatory. And we're also going to really focus on liver cellular health using things like milk thistle, N-acetylcysteine, all these things, and alpha lipoic acid. All these things are amazing. We actually have a liver detox pack that you can buy if you're worried about, ooh, is my liver working like it should? And I just want to say, this is not a liver detox. I don't believe in liver detoxes because that's a temporal flushing of your liver. And the problem with that, Doug, is a lot of times if you don't prepare the body to receive. So when we do detoxes, we have to do detoxes sometimes, you know, like heavy metal detox, things like that. We actually prepare the body to receive that level of treatment first before we just throw somebody on it. The liver detox packets we have support normal liver function. So we optimize liver function for somebody to be able to do this on a day in, day out basis. So if that's something that you're being exposed to toxins on a regular basis, or you think you are, something great that you can do and supports the anti-cancer theory in terms of how cancer develops and DNA damage and all this kind of stuff. But you know what's most exciting for me that I mentioned to you specifically is once we get through all of these things, we also sort of mentioned a little bit about stem cells. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do. Remember that? Yes, I do.
And I told you, you've got to quit smoking.
Oh, yeah.
Or you don't get to get my special treatment.
That's right. And you know, it only makes sense, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, just as simple as that. But go, yes, please. Yeah.
And you know, stem cells, now that's where we really get amazing support. There's no FDA approved treatment for stem cell therapy with the non-alcoholic steatohepatitis patients. However, we see a lot of the anti-inflammatory benefits, and with the theory that we will have cellular regeneration at the cell level. Now, one key thing I want to also talk about that I think is really, really important in our discussion is we, you know, with your history of tobacco use, we actually asked you to get a CT scan of your lungs, right?
Correct.
And the type of I just want to talk about this just in case other people are listening who smoke and don't know to do this. So the current recommendations by the United States Task Force, and I have found this recommendation to actually be really amazing in early detection of lung cancer. Now, here's the problem with lung cancer is in many cases, and again, I've been a doctor for almost 30 years. So I've been a doctor before these recommendations were actually made because we didn't have the technology back in, you know, 1997 like we do now. So the current recommendations is that you get something called a low dose CT scan. Low dose means low radiation exposure CT scan. And that if you have a, if you're between the ages of 50 and 80, that you would get one every year. If you have 20 pack year history of smoking. 20 pack years means one pack per day for 20 years or two packs per day for 10 years. So you've got to have accumulated about 20 years of smoking. If you quit smoking, you can quit the CT scan 15 years after you quit smoking. So for you, Doug, you need to get it on a regular basis, on a yearly basis, because we really, you know, we really need to assess your, not only what your lungs look like, but we also discussed as part of your workup what your lungs are functioning like and whether or not you would benefit from inhalers, right?
Right, yeah.
And
yeah,
the reason why we discussed that, the reason why we discussed that is because if you are not oxygenating your tissue well, you're not getting oxygen to your tissue because of the damage you have done to the lungs over years and possibly having something called COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is very common, or emphysema, very common in smokers. If you have that, then we need to get on the ball and treat you for it with the proper inhaler so that you can be exchanging oxygen and actually getting oxygen to your tissues well.
Now, wouldn't like an oximeter, is that what they call those things you put
it's
on your
not good
finger?
Enough. Yeah, no? Not good enough. No, we're looking at...
Come on, man.
Just going to tell you what your oxygen level is. And believe it or not, it's acceptable for smokers to have a slightly lower oxygen level, like because your body has actually adapted to it because of the, you know, the slowness of all of this. But so no, it is definitely.
Curious, what's kind of a low level on one of those things, you know?
So normal, and like for me, what I would see in someone like me is a 98% capacity. And of course you're sitting down, you're not exercising, and you're taking big deep breaths, 98, 99, 100. With smokers, it does go down by about 5 points.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Their hemoglobin's a little more concentrated, their ability to, you know, so their, your body adapts and changes to keep you alive and to keep you oxygenated. And so you're putting a lot of stress on your body to do that when you're a smoker. But the bottom line is, you know, what I tell people all the time, for this is an easy example. A lot of patients who have right upper quadrant pain because of a bad gallbladder, and we do an ultrasound of the gallbladder, and gallbladder looks great. And I'm like, ooh, let's do a HIDA scan now, because a HIDA scan will actually give us the how the gallbladder is functioning, because sometimes the gallbladder is not functioning properly. So it's not contracting properly. So we have to not only look at how it looks, but also how it functions. And we have to do the same thing with your lungs. So we're going to see how it looks with that CT scan, and we're going to see how it functions with a pulmonary function test. That's why it's called a pulmonary function test. Right. So those are extremely important, and something that, you know, this is like medicine 101. This is not like, ooh, I'm a really smart doctor.
Do you really
want to
see that? I mean, seriously, do I
want to? I only want to see. I only want to see things that I can do something about.
Well, I mean,
so you're 100% right. Yeah. And let me tell you, I've had patients who are like, who think I'm a genius because I'll put them on a little inhaler and they're actually breathing better, oxygenating better, and have a lot more energy, and didn't know what it felt like to do that because the gradual decline was so gradual, you didn't realize how bad you were.
Well, okay. So, listeners and viewers who don't smoke or maybe quit, you know, or that's not a factor. Would you still recommend that or no?
No, absolutely not. If you're not a smoker, if you've quit 15 years ago or more, then you do not need to get this type of screening. Okay. Now, we're talking about screening just like we would. This is part of our routine protocol, bone density screening, colon cancer screening, breast cancer screening, all sorts of things. I will say this, though, when you do a CT scan, this is low dose radiation, so it's a really quick test. It's not a big deal. Most insurances actually pay for it. And, you know, we do tell our patients to take a little extra melatonin, like 20 to 30 grams, just to help with the radiation exposure and to help decrease the oxidative stress that day when they get a CT scan or any other X-ray exposure.
Okay. All right. Folks, look, take heed. Beingfunctional.com and also for your supplements, vitamin777.com. Links will be in the program description box at agmanpi.com. And like I said, I'm kind of bearing my soul to everyone because, you know, that's, hey, don't do what I did. Just, okay. However, do what I did after. They said, yeah, not too good. So there you go. Right here. Here's the answer. Go ahead.
You're never too old to change, Doug.
True.
That's the bottom line. And you are doing amazing. And I love your effort and I love your decision to really, you know, I will tell you, you know, just the look on your wife's face, that said it all in terms of, man, I think she was happier than you were that you were getting the help that you need. So, and that's what we have to remember is when something happens to us, it's not just us. When we make a decision to smoke, it's not affecting just us. It's affecting all the people that love us and all the people around us and all the people we're working for and doing things for on earth. So definitely something to think about. So
I want to say one thing about that real quick. One of the big motivating factors, and folks out there, if you are smoking, listen to me. There was just a report, and I don't know how many people know this, but they're starting to put mRNA stuff into tobacco. And that ain't cool. I mean, that's not, look, none of this is good, but that's especially not good. So when I read that, that's when I said, yep, done. They got to go. Gots to go. So thank you, doctor. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I have not heard that report, but I'm so glad that you are, you know, that that's happening. So the other thing we talked a little bit about is just your chronic pain. Can you tell me how you're doing with that right now in terms of medications, in terms of whether or not the pain has gotten better? Can you tell me about that? Because since we're taking a multifactorial approach to your inflammation, sure, we would expect that inflammation everywhere to decrease.
I'll tell you this. Okay, folks, just so if anyone wants to know, the bottom line is really from my cervical spine down to my tailbone, I've got osteophytes, I've got the nerve impingement, you name it. I've gone through, you know, two or three windshields. I've head first. You don't put your seatbelt on because you got to get out of the car. Anyway, so that does, especially when you hit something that is immovable. You go through windshields. So anyway, I got a bunch of stuff going on there in my thoracic and my lumbar. And I've had everything you possibly think of done. It's all about, but to answer your question, hurt like a, it hurts bad, except I've found, I'll be honest. I've found more than a slight, but not significant relief.
Okay.
Okay. So we're just kind of you know, just a little.
We're just touching it. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's where the BPC-157 peptide, stem cells, obviously stem cells, multi reasons for using them on you. And I told you we would use them every 6 weeks. I mean, sorry, 6 months, maybe for a year or two, just because we really wanted to, you know, really kind of hit a home run with regeneration, repair, anti-inflammatory, all these things. Diet, we haven't even started supplements yet, right?
Correct.
A lot of the supplements we are going to start are targeted towards inflammation. And when we use, for example, turmeric and boswellia, we actually significantly support 5 different pathways of inflammation. Plus we do a lot of other good things. So it's not like a, you know, NSAID that, you know, hurts your gut and really just shuts down a couple different pathways. So this is really, really, you know, when you get going on this, so in 6 months, hopefully that will be significantly improved. Diet first, all these little other things that we've done, those are all first. Controlling blood sugar, which is super duper inflammatory. But once we get you on some berberine, alpha lipoic acid, the right diabetic medication, stop the old diabetic medications, which might be causing a little bit more harm than good at this point compared to the newer things, and continue healing your gut and continue all this process, that's when we're going to see significant improvement. But you know, something practical for everyone to do is the Mediterranean diet. I think that's a great place to start. A second place is to go to vitamins777.com and get started on, at the very minimum, a foundational pack. The foundational pack's actually what I put you on, foundation. Yes. I'm like, this is your base, but then we're also using these extra things because of the unique problems you have. But the base is what I put everyone on, your wife, you, everyone. Fish oil, a really good multivitamin, a really good magnesium, and a really good K2 D3. D3 sounds so benign and so silly to talk about, but do you know, just, I'll give you a couple examples. The number of people that got really, really sick with COVID that were vitamin D deficient is astronomical to me. That was actually a risk factor for having poor outcomes with COVID as well as other viruses. That is actually one of the reasons why I believe I haven't been that sick. You know, I haven't taken an antibiotic for close to 30 years, and I have not been, you know, even when I do get a little cold, it's literally hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. It's certainly not days of being in bed. I can't tell you the last time I've been in bed. So having optimal vitamin D levels was so important to me that I actually put it in my top 4 supplements that all my patients get. So the really good fish oil, a really good multivitamin, a really good magnesium that helps with sleep and cellular repair, and also muscles, the next day, you're not going to be as sore when you're working out, things like that. And of course the vitamin D. So those are extremely important to do. But again, diet first, it's kind of like if you're going to drink a diet soda with a Big Mac and fries, it's like, why? And that's the same thing with supplements. If you're going to eat a crappy diet, but then take supplements, you can't outdo a crappy diet. So you really need to focus on a good, healthy, clean diet, Mediterranean lifestyle, and go from there. And I do want to tell you, Doug, we have a Facebook group that we just started because there's so many people interested in this. And it is through Feel Good Gut Health. .com. And that is where you can actually join the community of people. It's all free. If you want to do the course, we will offer the course in the future, for a small fee, but the community, the Facebook community, where I will be monitoring and I will be answering questions and I will be posting things. So it's something that people can actually trust. That is going to be huge for nutrition, and getting the right nutrition, getting the right answers and questions and things like that answered to people. One other thing I wanted to just quickly mention, I also asked you to start fasting 12 to 14 hours a day, because we know that fasting also can have an anti-inflammatory effect. Have you been doing that?
Yes, I have. That is probably one of the easiest things for me to do. And have I noticed anything different? Not really. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's doing what, but so, but I got to ask you, how many days a week?
Every day, fast, every day for 12 to 14 hours.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I didn't know. Okay. Yes. Okay. I didn't know.
We do multi-day fast also. However, in your case, definitely don't recommend that as a diabetic, taking medications, things like that.
Right.
Multi-day fast, the reason why those are so good is because of the autophagy that you get later on. So really, autophagy is programmed cell death, where you clean out some of the junk that's been sitting around in the cells. Would you benefit from that? Absolutely. But that is too risky for you to do. So what I tell people is, when your body was supposed to have food in it was during the day. And when the sun goes down, you're not supposed to put food in your body anymore. And the way your hormones work is they support that. You become more insulin resistant in the evening and you're more insulin sensitive in the day. When you're insulin sensitive, you can get glucose into a cell better. When you're insulin resistant, glucose stays out in the blood longer. We don't want that. We already discussed why. And so, so it would make sense then to stop eating after 5 or 6 p.m. and then just don't eat again until 8 a.m. So easy to do once you get into the habit of doing it. And I'll tell you what though, so many people stay up late doing work and or watching TV and are just munching mindlessly. Again, it's a habit. You got to be intentional about breaking it, but you have to be aware that you're doing it.
Actually, that's worked out very well for me. The fasting part is very easy. Now, when you say fasting, what about liquids, coffee, black coffee, tea?
So, you know, coffee is not a good idea at nighttime anyway. So we want you to fast at night. But yeah, absolutely. I have a big thing of tea here. I mean, volume matters because you don't want to be getting up and peeing all night long. And so, you know, so about 6 to 12 ounces is not completely full, and no more than that, especially within 2 hours of bedtime. And I like to drink sort of a calming nighttime tea at night, not anything stimulating. I don't have any stimulating teas in my cupboard, but I have a whole bunch of really good low caffeine or caffeine free, naturally herbal caffeine free teas.
I have to say, my wife's got, oh man, it's a change. Okay. So I'm drinking the tea.
Yes.
Tea,
you know, tea. Yes. Not okay. Mountain Dew.
No. And I got to tell you, normally this would be coffee, but now I do have coffee in the morning and then nothing, or breakfast coffee. And then, you know, but really like after 5 o'clock, I'm good until next day.
So. Yeah. So, Doug, we have a lot of work still with you, and I think that, so I'm excited for people to follow you along on this journey, and we can talk about the test results and stuff like that if you feel comfortable doing that.
I don't care.
In the future. Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, this is one of my favorite things to do is to actually have patient cases. And in the future, we can actually bring up patient cases in my actual practice and we can walk through everything that they went through without disclosing their name, obviously. So we would keep it HIPAA compliant. But I think when you see real life cases with real life action plans, and something that people can do. This is not, now, you know, while we're sitting here talking about your health, we're certainly not telling anyone to go do any of this. We're throwing out ideas and throwing out information out there. I'm not anyone's doctor. This is not creating that patient-doctor relationship, but certainly it's giving people information and giving people, hopefully, you know, some notes that they can jot down and go look up. What is BPC 157? What is, what is the proper CT scanning that I should get? And if they're smokers, they can talk to their doctors about it. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I love to do because it really helps move that needle of health and wellness in a good direction.
I have never, ladies and gentlemen, like I've never.